It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. They're actually coming in live from Vegas, where they're at a big conference. They're going to talk about Surface Book. Actually, I'm going to talk about Surface Book because I have lots of questions. We've also got a breakdown of Microsoft's quarterly numbers and lots more information about Windows and Windows 10 and Windows Phone and all that stuff. You stay tuned. Windows Weekly is coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly, episode 437, recorded Wednesday, October 28th, 2015. UTC doesn't change, but we do. Windows Weekly is brought to you by the Ring Video Doorbell. With Ring, you can see and talk to anyone at your door from anywhere in the world using your smartphone. It's like caller ID for your home. Right now, get free FedEx shipping when you go to ring.com/WW. And by Wealthfront. Wealthfront is a low-cost automated investment service that is the most sophisticated way for you to invest your money. Whether you've got millions or you're just starting out, visit Wealthfront.com/windows to sign up and get your free personalized investment portfolio. That's Wealthfront.com/windows. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 100-plus job sites, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter with a free 4-day trial now at ZipRecruiter.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with two of the most prestigious, most informed, the scoopiest of Windows press.
Yep.
You are Scoopy. Scoopy-Doo. It's and today from Las Vegas, Paul Thurrott of Thurrott.com, Mary Jo Foley of AllAboutMicrosoft.com. And despite appearances, they are actually in the same room. But
I hate to interrupt this, but yes. I was just served chocolate-covered strawberries, so I'll be right back.
Oh, God, are you living the life. You are having fun. You're there for the IT Dev Intersection, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a conference Richard Campbell somehow involved with.
Somehow.
Unless he didn't come back from Africa. Yeah. I think he's there.
No, he's here. I just saw him this morning.
Okay. And you're doing a panel in about 2 hours, so we'll get through this.
That's
quick.
Right.
But anyway, great. Did you have fun?
I mean, I got in super late last night, so you have to talk to Mary Jo about that.
You like your room, though.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, our rooms are amazing.
There's a swimming pool bathtub.
There is.
Yeah.
Two bathrooms in this room.
Yeah. The MGM Grand, I think, must have recently got renovated, because when we stayed there as a Ziff Davis hotel, well, first of all, it was famous for having 5,500 rooms in one hotel, which is like, what?
Right.
And it is, you're right, a mile and a half from the entrance to the back.
What's great about it is there's a map, and it says you're here, and you got to get here, but the way to get there is you go
doot.
You know, I'm not saying it's like 1.5 miles or anything, but it's pretty far.
Yeah.
That's nice. Do they still have the Emerald City Bar with the flying monkeys and all of that?
Hmm.
No, they don't. They took that out, I think. That was... I was telling you before the show, Ziff Davis had a deal, and we would always stay during Comdex at the MGM Grand. And they had like a 10-year deal, and we knew this was where we'd be staying for the rest of our lives.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Are you in the tower? Like, are you in the tower or are you in the
main? We're in the towers.
Tower. Yeah. Tower One.
Tower of Terror, some call it.
Yeah, that's nice.
Don't worry, that hotel hasn't burned down in years. It's okay.
Yeah, you can almost not smell the smoke.
No, it was a different building, actually. It was way down the strip, the old MGM. This is I'm glad to hear you're being treated like the superstars that you are.
I actually feel like I'm being treated more than I deserve. this is very strange.
Nice.
I'm glad.
Just was telling them before the show, got my Surface Book on Monday, fell in love by Tuesday, it's all over by Wednesday. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really happy with it. It's the fit, finish,
the way it's made, the things it does. It's just sweet.
The way it does the things it does.
The way it do the things it do. And then, of course, Wired had a great article about how, you know, the behind the scenes with Panos Panay, kind of confirming something that you guys thought.
Well, new. But go on.
Well, no. Yeah. I think this is more opinion than fact. But one of the things that apparently, according to this Wired article, they had a laptop. They've been working on it for years. They had a laptop, but they said it's not enough to do a laptop. We have to do something besides aim at the straight at the MacBook. By the way, it was how do we beat Apple? It was how do we beat Apple?
Of course. Yeah.
And they had to do something different, and that's when they came up with the idea of detaching the screen. And as you've pointed out, there's a compromise involved in that. It makes it heavier. It's got its own battery.
Yeah.
And
you know what else you see? It's too bad you don't have it there with you, Leo, because when you look at the screen part of it. And how thin it is compared to a tablet, right? Obviously, if it was just a screen, it would be a lot thinner. But there's computer guts in there, right? It has a CPU, it's graphics, it gets RAM, battery. You're clearly looking at the next Surface Pro, right? Because that thing is thinner than a Surface Pro 4 is today.
Oh, interesting.
Because a Surface Pro 4 is kind of bound by the dimensions of a USB port.
Right.
Well, they could put a USB-C port in this thing. Right, and there's your next Surface Pro.
Mm-hmm.
You just need the kickstand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes, I mean, so, but this level of thinness, it could hold extra battery. It just doesn't because they didn't want it to be top heavy. USB-C port. I mean, there it is. There's your next Surface Pro. Mm-hmm. It's impossible not to think that once you sort of hear it and think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's going to.
Well, that makes me feel good because that means I kind of have a Surface Pro in addition to Surface Book. I just have to detach it, and then it is. Pen works great. Latency is very low. Maybe it's not perfect, but it's pretty good, and I've been having a lot of fun using it. Yep. It comes with a paint program, a really nice paint program, actually.
Yeah, yep.
So if you're an artist and you want to play with that, it's great. And then it also, I was surprised it doesn't have any junkware, right? This is Microsoft, so it's like a signature PC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They
give you a couple of apps that are designed for the pen.
Yeah, like the PDF app, which I really like.
And specifically, not because we don't really need a way to see PDFs, but this is a way you can draw in PDFs.
So that's not trialware. That's a free app.
I believe so. This is the Drawboard PDF application.
And you can use it as a PDF reader.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you can annotate with the pen, which is great.
Right.
I'm just having
same thing with the New York Times app. I mean, the crossword app. I think technically you probably need like a New York Times subscription.
I have a subscription. So I can use a pen on that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, of course. Yeah. That's the point.
I'm going home. I have to go back and get my
I mean, that's why it's there, right?
And you have an eraser.
It's not because they're trying to, you know, they're not trying to
promote apps. I love the eraser. Apple's gotten scooped on that one. What's the paint program? It's not PaintNet. It's Paint.
Fresh Paint.
Fresh Paint. Fresh Paint. So Fresh Paint, Drawboard, and the New York Times, those are like the three crossword puzzles. Those are the three kind of pen apps that they include on there.
Mm-hmm.
Put Office on it immediately. Fabulous.
Yep. Yeah. Screen's beautiful, right?
Yep.
Oh,
absolutely gorgeous.
And I love 3x2. I do not mind that aspect ratio.
I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but this desperately needs to happen because one of the things I've been using this as my home computer with the dock, and I connected it to my big screen and my keyboard, mouse, et cetera. I desperately need a 3x2 surface display with the same exact pixel density, 267 PPI, as the surface displays. Because one of the things that's really interesting about Surface Pro 4 and Surface Book is that even though they have different size screens, they have the exact same, obviously, aspect ratio, but also the exact same pixel density. And when you go to like a widescreen display, you know, things get kind of messed around by Windows, you know, as it does the little shift there. And depending on how you do it, you can span the displays, replace the displays, whatever. How awesome would it be to go directly from this internal screen to an exact replica, but one that's much bigger, would have a, you know, commensurate resolution that was bigger as well? It'd be perfect.
Mm.
Desperately need this.
And the resolution is great. 3,000 by 2,000.
Yep.
I am totally thrilled. I'm really enjoying this thing. And you know, I have to say Windows 10 really did fix all of my issues with Windows 8. I know. Because you're in the desktop. Even yeah. But did they eliminate the thing? I remember that when in the old days, when you went from desktop to tablet mode, it would pop up a thing and say,
"So
they've eliminated
all right,
that."
It's very interesting. And on Surface Pro 4, actually, I don't know on Surface. I should say on Surface Book, I know for sure. I'm not sure about Pro 4. It's still there. It's just that it's not enabled by default.
It doesn't do it. It just, you stay in desktop, which is fine with me.
That's not the default way that Windows 10 works. And so Microsoft changed that for some reason. Yeah, and I don't quite know why. I'm going to guess it's a big screen. It's a very high-resolution screen.
It works.
They're thinking pro users, IT pros, developers, they're not going to want tablet-y mode or whatever. So that's my guess. You can just so you know, though, you can go and turn that on. So when you pop that screen off, if you want it to go into tablet mode, that's a feature of Windows 10. You can still enable it.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but it's disabled by default.
I have so many questions for you guys because it's you know, I use Windows, but it's not my daily driver.
It will be, Leo.
You know what, Paul? I bought the dock yesterday.
It's awesome, right?
I have a spare 4K monitor. I'm hoping it'll work with that. I think it will.
It will. Absolutely. It will work with two of them.
I'm feeling like this is great. They really did a nice job.
Since we've started recording this podcast, by the way, someone has come to the door
twice.
Did you
want to record this today? Okay, I'm sorry. Let me start over. No, go ahead. Yeah. Yes.
No, since we've started, someone has come to the door twice, and now my phone has rung.
Go ahead. You want to answer the door? Maybe that's more strawberries.
I really don't, but I'm just amused that they're trying to contact me so much. I don't understand what's
popular.
Going on here. It's probably a fire.
press that do not disturb button next to your door.
Yeah, really.
Oh, Mary Jo, see, she's got it sussed. She knows luxury hotels. Paul's only stayed at places like the Yale Club.
I'm actually sleeping on a canvas bag in the corner. I feel a little out of place.
Paul
brought a bag full of hay.
I mentioned this before the show, but I should reiterate during the show. I know you had some issues. Both of you have had issues with the trackpad, reliability issues, things like that, keyboard issues. I haven't had any of those.
So let me since we're doing Surface, let me provide a quick update on this because I'm curious to see what Mary Jo's experience has been on the i7 based Surface Book that I have. It is far more reliable than the i5 pre-production version I had. I still have occasional things. I will say, if you have a Surface Book, I think they're going to fix this stuff with firmware updates. But anyone who uses a Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro 4 probably, is maybe familiar with this notion of the keyboard stops working and you kind of unclick it and click it back and then everything's fine. And the Surface Book version of that is detaching the screen and then just reattaching it, right? It's annoying. It works. It's much better than it was on the pre-production.
I have not had it happen to me at all.
I haven't had that happen to me either.
Okay.
That must be a firmware fix.
But a lot of people are experiencing this.
A lot of people have had it.
Okay.
And it's tough because this is a computer that starts at $1,500 and you want to kind of nail it.
That should be perfect. Yeah.
I do think they're going to get it right. They shipped a bunch of firmware updates on day one.
Did you put those on your pre-production?
I didn't have to because they sent me a
thumb drive, right?
Yeah, that had that stuff on it already. So
as
I didn't
far
actually.
As I know, so I got my Monday. I mean, it was, you know, if you ordered day and date, you got it October 26th. I had updates. I think there might have been one.
Like a hardware. Something,
maybe there was
like
a firmware update. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not one.
I did apply those updates because I didn't get the thumb drive. And I noticed that now when I press the detach button on the keyboard for taking the tablet part off, it is much simpler. I was having trouble. It was sometimes detaching, sometimes half detaching. And then now it just seems to work much more smoothly than it did.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Battery life is really, as you had reported, variable. So yesterday I had I was using it on the shows, which means I was using it pretty heavily. Oh, screen was always on 4 hours.
It seems to be smart about how it uses the battery, too, because there's two concerns here. One is that you could detach it. And if the battery inside the top part had already dispensed, you know, obviously the thing shuts off. The other issue is that if the battery's down to a certain percentage, you can't detach it.
Right.
It won't let you.
Okay. Yeah, no, it won't. It's
5 or 10%.
It's a weird thing because it's two batteries. They're split up, and it shows you there's two batteries. And what it does is it draws down one to about 30%, then starts drawing down the other one as well. And you're right, you can't detach it if you get too low. But, and for obvious reasons, you'd be cutting it off.
Yeah. I took pictures of this as I went, but on the flight here, I did about 6 hours in the air. And I wrote for about 3 hours. They had Wi-Fi, so I was able to get online. And then I watched some 1080p, or a 1080p movie and part of another one. And let me just see what this says because I took a picture of it. So when I arrived, it was 33% battery left. The top one had 32% left, and the bottom one was 35%. So actually a little bit on each, about 3 hours of life remaining, it says.
Yeah. And I also used it that way too, but I didn't watch a movie. I just worked for 6 hours, and I had.
Did you know what it said?
I had about 30-odd% battery left, and I was running Chrome, and I was running TweetDeck, and I was secretly using a mouse sometimes.
Right.
So yeah, it was great.
But then I've also gotten 8 or 9 hours, effectively the first day. So really, it does a lot depend on how you're using it.
Also, by the way, it will depend on whether you have a discrete GPU. Those will not get as good battery life.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
The other thing I noticed is it doesn't charge super fast. Am I wrong on that? I feel like it looks like the same adapter as the Surface Pro. It's like a low wattage adapter.
Oh, Leo. Let me provide the biggest tip of the world for anyone who owns this device, especially people who have upgraded from previous Surfaces, because I almost made this crucial error. The power supply for this thing says Surface Pro on it, and it looks exactly like the power supply for Surface Pro 3 and Surface Pro 4. It is not. It is a different power supply. Ooh. And if you bring the wrong power supply with you, it is not going to charge your device.
Ooh.
So
it won't
I almost made this mistake.
Charge it. Okay, good.
It won't charge it.
So put a label
if you're upgrading.
On it.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Surface Connect pin is exactly the same.
Yeah, it fits.
It plugs in, it lights up.
Yep.
It doesn't charge it. So be careful with that if you happen to, you know, if you're upgrading or whatever. Because I think a lot of people who do that will say, well, you know, I can reuse some of my peripherals, whatever, and that's absolutely true. Or I could, you know, leave one power thing at home and bring the other, you know, put it in my bag, which is what I almost did. I almost came here.
That's a great tip.
With the wrong charger. I mean, that's not going to impact a lot of people, but be careful.
So you, if you have a Surface Book, make sure you have a Surface Book charger. Maybe one.
I don't remember the difference. It's a different model number. Yeah, it's a little thicker. The model number, I just remember because I was looking them up. The model number on the Surface Book one is 1706, and the model number on the previous ones is 16 something, 24 or something like that.
It's a little lower wattage.
Just be careful. Yeah, it's lower wattage.
But the dock, it will work, I hope.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
The dock is awesome. I haven't written too much about this yet, but that's how I've been using it at home for the past, you know, 10 days.
Well, that's what I think I'm going to do. Do you have a mouse and keyboard, or do you?
Mm-hmm.
You do.
I have everything connected to it. Everything.
Can you now? One thing that MacBook does great is you can keep it closed on the dock. You probably can't.
That's exactly
you
how
can.
No, we can't. Of course. Yep. Here's another little tip, Leo. By the way, because I screwed this up.
Yeah.
If you use it in this configuration, strongly recommend going to Power Options and configuring what happens when you press the power button.
Oh.
Because let me tell you, when you go to it's under the monitor and you kind of want to push it back a little bit and you hit the power button by mistake, it turns off.
Oh.
So I don't know why it's configured like that by default. Change that. I change it to do nothing when the lid is closed.
Oh, that's
because
good.
Because I don't, right?
You probably do want it to do that, because if you're carrying it or whatever, you don't want to accidentally hit it. Took me a while to find the power button, by the way. I'm looking along.
Yeah.
Because it's on the top, and then you realize all the controls have to be on the screen.
They have to be not just on the screen, but on an edge, right?
Right.
So you can hit, so you can access them when the device is closed as well.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm loving
this. Is going to be the all Surface Book tip episode of Windows Weekly.
It is, I know.
Well, I'll save some for next week.
Do you have a tip for tippy Surface Books? That's my.
It is a little tippy.
Yeah. No, I don't. Don't put the screen back so far.
You know what's funny that you just said that? I want to put the screen back further,
By the way, I do too. And
right?
Yeah.
And then
I know. I push it too, saying, can you go back a little more?
Yeah.
Feels like
I'm pushing it back now. I'm using the camera to record my face, and I'm pushing it back like an idiot.
Oh, hello. Works great.
I know. It's like being done. You know when it doesn't work right?
When?
Bright sunlight.
Oh, interesting. And when it's dark, of course.
No, when it's dark, it works. It's infrared.
Oh.
So I used it on the plane in pitch blackness, and it was
because I've been turning on lights so it can see.
Yeah, no, it's paranormal activity. It's really kind of.
So this is the special camera, and it has a weird little light on it, like a Kinect. And,
yeah, it's like a red infrared light.
Little infra thing.
It's a privacy light, right? So tell you when you're recording, isn't it? Or
I think that's the inf- that's the that's the
well, it's infra- it's the infrared
lightening you up.
It's part of the facial recognition. Yeah,
got it.
But when you open, so when you if you set it up, which I did, and by the way, it's not it's like where you put the PIN number and all that stuff. It's not like, and I said, yeah, use facial recognition. I said, okay, smile, and you can improve recognition by putting on your glasses, putting on a hat, combing your hair, uncombing.
Yep.
So I did.
Leo, let me give you another tip.
Yes.
If you wear glasses, as I do. I wake up in the morning. I don't put my contacts on until I leave the house.
Me too.
Until I'm doing like a podcast or whatever. So go through that process twice, once with glasses and once without, and it will work. It will always work.
Yeah, it actually tells you to do that. And it's so then, that doesn't always work, but it works so fast when it works that you feel like you don't have a lock. It just, you open it up, it says, hi, Leo.
Exactly. The first time it happened, I thought, did I not set this up with a, you know.
Yeah, and I use a PIN, so it's not, if it doesn't work, it's fine, but it works a lot, and it's great. It's like
so
a finger,
fast.
And it's secure, right? I mean, this is a reliable, nobody, they tried twins, right?
You can't hold, twins don't work. A photo of you obviously doesn't work.
Now, I didn't set it, there is a setting if you want extra security that you have to turn your head like this and this. I didn't do that.
Right. No, I didn't
do
that
either. That's a pain in the ass. I'm not going to do that. I feel like I'm in a lineup. All right, turn to the left, turn to the right. But it really, I love hello. I love that. So that's a anyway. I'm sorry. I shouldn't.
No, it's
gush.
You should. You should gush away.
I've used Mac laptops for more than 10 years.
By the way,
I mean, aside from Windows laptops, but this is the best Windows laptop I've ever used. This is incredible.
Aside from Windows Hello, though, when I use Mac OS X, and we're kind of on opposite end of the spectrum. I don't use it very often, but when I do, one of the things that really irritates me is that you can't use a PIN, right?
Yeah,
and so. To sign in. And so one of the things I did in Mac OS X, I thought, well, you know, I'll just use a 4-digit password for my user account, and that will be the same thing, except it isn't. Because when you use a PIN, you go 1234, and it signs you in. But on the Mac, you go 1234, and then you have to hit enter.
Yeah, right.
You know, because it's – and I know people are like thinking this is such a small thing. What are you talking about? But there is a progression of ease as you go from like long passwords to short passwords and PINs and, you know, hit Windows Hello being the best. I mean, that little thing where you have to hit enter at the end, like you have to do on Android, right, is goofy. I mean, on an iPhone or not Windows Phone, 1234, you're in. Why would you have to hit enter?
Yeah. No, I'm with you.
It's so strange.
I'm with you. You're right. In Android, you do have to have a hit enter on some.
I know, I've never understood that.
Yeah. Fingerprint. But we got, you know what? We got used to it with fingerprints. And that's really changed how I use a phone. Because
it makes it hard to go back.
You can't. I won't. I won't buy a phone now that doesn't have fingerprints.
Yeah. So I mean, look, you may use a Mac regularly. I get it and everything. And so you'll use this thing, and maybe you go back to the Mac. But I'm telling you, when you do that, it's the password thing's going to irritate you. It's hard when you've done this to go back. You know, when you've done Windows Hello, it's hard.
I'm totally with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they use Hello like? You know, when you have a fingerprint reader on a phone, LastPass and other things will use the fingerprint reader. Have they done that yet with Hello integrated into more than just the log into the screen?
Yep. It's integrated with all the purchase stuff in Windows. So if you buy content from the store, whatever it is, music, movies, games, apps, et cetera. There's a technology called Windows Passport, which is what brings that technology to the web and to websites and other, you know, third-party apps and all that stuff. And that is something that's kind of ongoing. So it's not just on, you know, you don't get it automatically with website passwords or whatever, but I think that's something that happens. I mean, obviously website passwords, or you could use the built-in stuff that's in Edge or whatever. I mean, I think that would be Microsoft's prescription for now, but the plan is for Windows Passport to bring that stuff forward to all the other stuff. So it starts with Windows Hello as your kind of sign-in credential, and then you can pass it through the other stuff from there.
Do you, and you have to have new hardware to make Hello work? I can't use it on this old Dell. This Dell I got in January.
That piece of crap. Yep. Yeah. Still using that, huh?
Here's a funny thing, though.
I mean, you could put a webcam on it, but right now they're pretty big, you know.
Yeah. Here's a funny thing. Surface Book, made by Microsoft. Turn on Cortana. It says, you know, this microphone isn't really made to work with Cortana, but I'll try my best.
That's awesome.
It's a Realtek Array mic, and it says, yeah, this is not designed for Cortana. That's got to be a bug. That's just annoying. It works.
I wonder if...
Not very well.
I wonder if that's related to the firmware thing, because, you know, on the pre-production units, we didn't have Windows Hello. And I wonder if that.
Well, I got the same message on my Dell, and I was looking forward to having compliant hardware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I haven't seen. I've not seen that message.
That's a little weird.
Okay, that shouldn't happen, Leo.
Yeah, it works. I guess
you're using it wrong.
I'm doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm sure I'll think of some other things, but we should save something for future. I love the pen. I probably will use it. I might even detach the screen once in a while. You pay a price for that screen detaching, and it's tippy and stuff. And so I'm gonna damn well use it because
I don't. So Mary Jo talked about the tippiness. I haven't found that to be a problem yet. So where does that bother? Like, where does that hit you? The tippiness
all the time, pretty much on desk, on my lap.
Really on desk.
Because sometimes. I don't use touch much, but if I do, maybe I'm just touching it too hard. I don't know. It wobbles.
You're touching it wrong. Yeah.
Then I could grab it because I think it's going to tip over. And sometimes I try to open the lid too far, and then that tips it over. On my lap, I can't type at all with it on.
It does make it unlappable, I guess.
It just falls right off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't
mind. I find it.
It makes you say, okay, they knew that a lot of people were not loving the lack of lappability of Surface Pro. See, that to me is one of those things you think, okay, and this one, we are going to make this really lappable. And it's funny that it's not, because that, to me, I know they had to make compromises in the design, but it just kind of says to me, did anybody put it on their lap and try it? You know,
the compromises in the design would lead to it being more lappable, it seems to me. In other words, they're not letting the screen go back very far to begin with. So that would aid that.
You can't use it on the your problem, lap, though.
I can't.
You can't. No.
I have short upper legs. It's very strange.
No, it's nothing about your legs. It's about the top heaviness of this thing.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people in the Surface team would respond to this by saying, but we made the Surface Pro 3 lappable. I don't understand this complaint.
I know.
You know?
Right.
Right? I mean, I think that's how they think. So I think
they really knew the truth, but I don't know. Yeah.
Depends on who you are. I mean, I think Surface Pro, some people can use it on their lap just fine. This one, you know, it's hard.
It's just, you can use it if you just want to look at something like a movie or read something and you're not touching the keyboard. But once you start to type, that's when it's like precarious, right?
Speaking of which, I actually I don't know that I'm going to do this a lot, but on the plane, because the guy in front of me at some point did put his seat back, had moved on to watching movies. So I actually, you know, took it off, flipped it around. Put it back down, you know, turn the whole thing around. And so now it's kind of, you know, the screen's in the front here and, you know, it kind of fits better in that triangular space, you know, formed by the seat. And it works fine. You know, it's a little goofy doing the whole, you know, you pop it off, you flip it around, you pop it back on. You're doing this in the dark. And so it's kind of hard. And then you have to turn the whole thing around, right? Mm-hmm. So that the screen is now facing front again. And I discovered in this mode that the keyboard no longer works. Which I guess makes sense because you wouldn't, you know, be putting your hands behind there or whatever.
Have you folded it over so that the keyboard is under it? Have you done that position with it and kind of used it as a slightly angled device?
Just to see what it looked like. I'm not, the truth is I'm never going to sit there and draw on the thing. So,
I'm disappointed. You're an artist.
Well, you know what? It's like anything else in life. You've done things a certain way for a long time, and you're comfortable doing it. Yeah. And I have terrible. I used to have. I still have a lot of my high school notebooks and stuff. I had wonderful handwriting when I was a kid. Right now, it's chicken scratching. Doesn't even begin to describe it. My hand cramps up writing a check. You know, so I can't do it.
I'm just trying to think if there's any other big thing to mention. By the way, people, if you are in Vegas, you are at the IT Dev Intersection. Paul and Mary Jo are going to be bringing their Surface Books to that panel right?
I brought it into the speaker lounge this morning. I don't know if you experienced this yet, Mary Jo, but a bunch of guys were manhandling it, including Scott Hanselman, and made like a little video of him popping the screen off, you know, so
it's
someday
fun.
When that video appears online, that's my Surface Book that he's doing that on.
You know, it's so funny that in the Wired article, Panos Panay kept saying something about clicky clicky. We don't want clicky clicky. Like they made that a joke. Mm. Are they mocking the
themselves?
Surface? Yes, the Surface Pro ads.
Yeah,
because it sounds like they kind of are.
I've always had this theory about the Surface and the keyboard, that that clicky sound was not done on purpose. It's something that just happened by the nature of what they had built, and that they found it so unique, they thought they would kind of focus on it in advertising. Yeah. Like, I don't think they, you know, made it that way on purpose. I think it was just, you know, you have magnets and the things slap together and they make a sound, and they're like, huh, that makes us, you know, that's one way you can tell someone it was a Surface.
Yeah.
It's just a theory. But this makes a little clicky sound. You know, it's kind of hard to hear sometimes, but.
I love the recorded chunk.
I know, it's so silly. I do too.
It's totally believable because it happens exactly the same moment that the thing releases and there's a little physical movement. And so it's totally, if you hadn't told me, I would, I buy it totally.
Yep.
Not, I have to say the trackpad's okay. It's a good trackpad for a Windows. It's not anywhere as good as Apple's trackpads, which.
Yeah, and I agree with that. If you've ever used a Mac trackpad, it's astonishingly good. And I would just say that among PC trackpads, I would put this one. The Envy, the Spectre X360 that HP makes is up there. You know, ThinkPads are up there. It's up there.
It's up there. You know? I'm not tempted to get a mouse. You know, I have plenty of mice lying around, and I'm not saying, oh, I'm going to go get a mouse. I might put a mouse on the dock. I don't know.
Yet. Mary Jo, do you agree with that assessment?
Nope. Totally disagree.
Immediately connects the mouse.
Yep. Right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I on the plane right here, I used it with the trackpad, no problem. And I did graphics and resizing and all this. It was fine. You know, today, sitting at a desk, I when I got time to do the graphics, I was like, give me the mouse, you know. But it's the trackpads, it's a good trackpad.
I have to say,
it's the first trackpad on a Windows machine I've ever been able to use at all, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm using it sometimes.
Yeah, and it supports great gestures if you want to use those. It has a lot of functionality if you go into the settings app and look at, you know, mouse and touchpad. A lot of stuff in there you can configure on it.
I have to say, having a touch screen makes me not worry so much, because I just love, I can zoom, I can swipe. I mean,
The zooming on touch is great. That's probably the one reason I use touch.
It's so great. Yeah. I like, it's just one more language. It's just one more kind of idiom.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I love it.
When this first happened, I think a lot of people said, oh, come on, no one's going to replace a mouse. No one's going to replace the keyboard. And that's not really the point, you know?
Right. You can use everything, right?
It's an adjunct.
Yeah, you can use any. I find myself, even in a laptop configuration, if I'm reading an article, I'll pop the thing full screen, reading mode or whatever, depending on the app, and then just flick through it with my finger, you know?
Yeah.
It feels very natural. It works really well. Keyboard and mouse are there. They still work, you know, but, it's just another thing.
Right.
It's nice.
I like that we have choice. I'm glad they didn't make it so the mouse doesn't work anymore. To try to force people not to use a mouse.
Although, by the way, Mary Jo, if you haven't done this, sorry, Leo, you can configure this to turn off the trackpad if you plug in a mouse.
Oh, yeah.
That way you don't get any errant swipes.
I keep thinking about that, yeah.
Yeah, it's worth doing.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Yeah, okay.
I've not heard the fans come on at all. Maybe I'm not doing,
really.
I'm not doing enough to.
You know, it's so random when it happens. I can never figure out what is making it happen, and it doesn't happen.
Pre-production models.
Much.
I really think.
Well, I don't actually have that problem.
You don't? Okay.
No. So that was a big problem. It is still a big problem on Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro 4, and Surface Book. No issues. The fan does come on. I mean, if you're playing a game, for example, I loaded up Far Cry 1080p. The fan kicks in. I mean, there's no way around that. Mm-hmm. And in some heavy stuff, like I do an initial 16 to 18 gig download from OneDrive. For the first, 15, 20 minutes of actual downloads, that the fan will kick in because it's using a lot of CPU, a lot of disk access, whatever, network probably. But, then it kind of calms down. It's not onerous. This was a big problem on Surface Pro 3. I don't really see it as a big problem on this one.
Good.
I don't, anyway. I guess Mary Jo's having a...
No, it's not a big problem for me. But it's just, I'm always curious when it happens, like, why is this happening right now?
Yeah, you almost want to look at, like, show me the thing that's making this happen, because it's not doing anything. And
right.
That's the Surface Pro 3 experience,
We're going to talk some about the new builds, Threshold 2.
There are other things to talk about. And, of course, Microsoft's earnings. It's a cloud company, baby. It's all in the cloud.
To the cloud.
Yeah. And why I still get on my Dell, something I have yet to see on my Surface Book, the blue screen of unhappy.
Aww. You know, if you had had the Surface Book a week earlier, you would have seen that because Microsoft updated it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of the reasons I'm very happy. I feel like Windows. So, and I want to turn off the insider builds on the Dell because I'm sure that's part of it. But I feel like Microsoft's got Windows 10 working. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about my doorbell. Speaking of working, you know what you should do is you should get this doorbell now before Halloween. The Ring video doorbell. Then not only will you be able to see all the ghosties and ghoulies, or is it ghosties and ghoulies at your door, you'll be able to scare them by going, "What is it?" This is the most awesomest thing you can put on your doorbell. If you have a wired doorbell, it's easy peasy. You just unscrew the wired doorbell. You got two little wires coming out. They give you everything you need to attach the new video doorbell, including drill bits, screwdriver, even a level so it looks good. Comes in a variety of different finishes to fit your home. And then when you ring the doorbell, not only does your chime ring, as always, inside, but your phone rings, your tablet rings, and everything running the app, and they have apps for iOS and Android and Windows, everything that ringing the app. And by the way, even, in fact, it's so funny because when I do the show, my doorbell goes off all the time. I can see who's at the door. I can respond to them. I leave the package there. "Who are you, strange person? Get away from my yard," whatever. In fact, this is a great security device because it turns out burglars come during the day when you're at work. They ring the front doorbell, make sure you're not home. When you don't answer, they go around back, break in. And they're done. Not with the Ring video doorbell. You say, "Yeah, what is it?" And they say, "Never mind, wrong house, wrong number." And they walk away. I also have motion detection for $30 a year. You can subscribe. And they will record motion outside your door. I can go back in time. I can see when my daughter got her bad boyfriend to drop her off 2 a.m. And I can even see the bad boyfriend. And if, by the way, I happen to be up, I could say, hey, get out of here. So I'm just loving it. I can't wait to play with it this Halloween. If you'd like to get a Ring video doorbell, we got free FedEx shipping. So you probably can get it by Halloween if you go to ring.com/WW. Ring.com/WW. Connects to your Wi-Fi. Works great. No, by the way, if you don't have a wired doorbell, it still works because it's got a lithium-ion, year-long lithium-ion battery inside. So you get all the benefits of the Ring doorbell, even if you don't have a doorbell. Oh, I love it. Ring, one of the top 10 gadgets of 2014, according to Time Magazine. Ring.com/WW. Get your Ring video doorbell today. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, they're in Vegas for the IT Dev Intersection Conference. And they'll be doing a panel shortly, so I want to make sure that we move promptly through this. I am on build 10.565. Is that right? Is that the current build still?
I believe it is.
Yeah, they haven't updated. Yep. You got on the plane and they didn't update Windows. What a shock.
I know. What happened?
Shocking.
Yeah, actually, Gabe apologized for that. I told him that I was flying on Friday as well. So
there's still a chance.
Yep.
We are getting close to threshold 2 being official and pushing out, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what the hold is, right? They want to put one last update out.
Right.
The goal.
Well, yeah, at least one. I guess we'll see. I mean, people have been asking me this week, you know, do you think we're done? Do you think that we've already seen the final bill? And it's like, I guess, I don't know. It seems like we have time for one or two more November release that's coming.
Yeah, November could be November 30th. I mean, when they're not going to do it for Thanksgiving, are they? When are they going to do it?
Well, the rumor is November 2, right? Like, that's the rumor we
keep hearing. Yeah, but I don't... That seems early to me. Does that seem early to you?
It hasn't RTM'd yet. As of yesterday, I'm basically sure. So I think that it's not quite done yet.
Right. So, we don't know the exact timing. I do think it's going to happen within the calendar month of November, but... I did receive some information about this update and how they're going to deliver it, what it's going to be called, and how they're going to differentiate. Because remember, you know, we're just on Windows 10 now, right? And, you know, there's not going to be a Windows 11, supposedly. And so, but we still need some way to differentiate different releases, because there's the RTM release, which they don't call the RTM release. And then this TH2, you know, the Threshold 2 type release is coming out in November. And, you know, how do you differentiate these things? And so, Leo, actually, if you're running that 535 build or whatever, 565.
Yeah, 565, yeah.
So Windows key plus R for the run dialogue.
All right.
And then type WinVer, WINVER. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then the About Windows box will come up.
Okay.
And what you should see there is it will say version 1511.
That's right.
That stands for 2015 November.
Oh.
And that's the Threshold 2 release, which they're going to market as the Windows 10 fall update. And they're going to use this naming convention with other products. We'll be talking about, Mary Jo, I think we'll be talking about System Center soon, and they'll be using it there because these things need to be kept kind of in lockstep. And so this is how we're going to tell the different versions of products that will no longer have version numbers associated with them, you know, to the general public. But there really are, of course, version numbers and build numbers. Those things still exist. And this is how they're going to do it. And so this will be the way we'll be able to tell these things apart.
Yeah, because I couldn't figure out on the Surface Book what the heck I had. But now I know. WinVer. Right. Command run WinVer.
Yeah, and so I reset this thing on Monday because Microsoft sent out a disk. And so when you look at the RTM version of Windows 10, what it says there is version 10.0. Yeah. Right? So, you know, I guess if they had come up with the system earlier, it would have said 1507 or whatever. Yeah.
There you have it.
This is how we. There you go.
Threshold 2. Yep. And is there any more news about what it will be, or it's?
Well, I mean, you know, most of it. No. There's a bunch of new features. I mean, remember what you're seeing in the Windows Insider program are new things, right? There's some color scheme changes, new Cortana features, new Edge features, and there's some other stuff. There's a new version of the media creation tool coming. Microsoft hasn't highlighted this too much, but remember that every quarter or whenever they release these kind of updates, they will be refreshing their online-based media for Windows 10. So, in other words, if you download Windows 10 from Microsoft today, you're getting the RTM version, and then you run a couple of updates and you're up to date. If you download this thing after November, you won't get the RTM version. You'll get the 1511 fall update version, right? And that's how they're gonna make sure they keep this thing evergreen as they move forward.
We do know now, I believe it's safe to say enterprise data protection is going to make it into Threshold 2 because another item under this on our notes is about Intune, which is Microsoft's device management service. And if you look at what's in this month's Intune update, they mention enterprise data protection policies get added. So that to me says enterprise data protection is one of those things that will make it into Threshold 2. And what that is that's the capability that isolates your personal data from corporate data to help prevent data leaks. So one of those features businesses really wanted that didn't make it into the first version of Windows 10.
Right. And then we should say there's stuff that's not going to make it in. So, for example, we found out this past week for sure that extensions for Edge are not happening until next year sometime.
Right. Microsoft has said that officially for people who didn't. Notice.
Yeah, you mentioned that last week. Bum me out, man. Because I actually like Edge. I want to use.
Really
it.
Like Edge,
I
especially
like to use it.
Especially on a device like this, on a Surface Book, or any high DPI screen. I would imagine they just do something right with the text and graphics rendering. It's just it's a really nice experience. Yeah. But the extension thing is tough. There's just one or two that I think I'd want to have before I could ever use it.
Now, don't yell at me. Mm-hmm. But I did change the DPI. I changed the...
you did?
Yeah, so they recommend 200%.
Yeah, what did you change it to?
250.
Oh, 250. That's interesting. Okay.
A little bit bigger. It's because of touch. Yeah. It's because I want touch targets to be just a little bigger. And I'm old and most checks don't want to be a little bigger.
How does it look? Is it nice?
You know, I feel like some things look scaled, but that's a good example. Edge doesn't. Edge looks beautiful. So some
I have
things
wasted
can
a lot of time... on this, doing this kind of thing, because there's the high level change you can make where it's big chunks. You know, you go from 200 to 250,
right?
And then you can get into a more complex control panel where you can actually on a ruler, gotcha. Kind of specify.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time on that.
But don't you? You want to use the screen at a native resolution, which of course you can't at a 3x2, 3,000 right. by 2,000 screen. It's just so high resolution, everything can be tiny. So they're doing what Apple does. Apple calls it high DPI mode, where you run it doubled. So it's twice as
big. Well, that's why 200% is ideal.
Yeah,
as far as
that scales nicely and easily. But I think the scaler they're using is doing a pretty good job, even at 250. I should probably go back to 200.
Yeah, and if for some reason you wanted to use 150, I think you would find the same. Yeah. It would actually look great. Yeah. I couldn't see it at that scaling, but
no. Well, that's the problem. The stuff's too small.
Yeah.
It sure looks good though. What a great screen. What a great
It is beautiful.
It is really nice. Yeah. And on Threshold 2 also, we think Business Store will be in there, which is the store that will let businesses sideload their own apps so that they don't have to be in the main store. Like if you had private apps, you just want your employees.
Sure, that happens a lot in big enterprises. Yeah.
It does. And then the new OneDrive Sync client is supposed to be out in the fourth quarter. So it's not technically part of the OS, right? But I think that will be. Along with Threshold 2. Yeah.
Hmm. Hey, I've forgotten about that. Hmm. What's going on with that? Aren't they testing that?
Yeah, they are testing.
But it's not public, is it? Is it?
I think it's public.
I've kind of, unfortunately, because of the way they've screwed up OneDrive in Windows 10, I find it very hard to use day to day. I use it for archive.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of my actual day to day work. I just use Dropbox because it just works so fast, you know? I really hope they get this one right. I've kind of stopped looking at it. I pour stuff into it just to get rid of it, and I don't care how long it takes to sync, but it's too bad.
I should probably be doing that too.
Yeah, you should be testing.
Because I have unlimited. Well, I have unlimited, right? Because I'm subscribing to Office 365.
Do you though? Do you?
I know, not really.
Does anyone really have unlimited?
No, no one does really, right?
Well, it's a terabyte, but maybe two, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
But then you just get more terabytes. Close.
Do you?
Don't you? Has anybody filled it up? I mean, is it possible to fill it up?
I have gotten more than a terabyte, by pumping a bunch of data into it. I have not gone beyond whatever they gave me. I'd have to look it up. I don't know if it was 5 gigs or something, or 5 terabytes or whatever. But
it's an awful lot.
I think they've said publicly, we know we said unlimited, and we're working towards that.
Yeah. Here's what people want, and seriously, because no one's going to use it. They just want to see the thing say unlimited. All they have to do is change the web page.
Right.
That's really all they have to do.
It really is. Right now it says 1 terabyte and it freaks people out. I'm paying this thing for a year to get unlimited storage. You know, I've got 533 megabytes of stuff and I want my unlimited storage. And I honestly think they could solve most of the problems by just changing what it says. I don't think anyone would even notice.
Yeah.
If they're going to bump it up as you go, what's the difference?
What does it matter? Can we talk some more about my Surface Book? No, all right, we won't.
Leo, yes, we can.
Did you mention Intune? I mean, I know you...
I mentioned Intune, but we didn't talk about System Center configuration.
Oh, yes, I saw that, yes.
Yep. So this is actually pretty interesting and kind of predictable, I think. So Configuration Manager also is going to be a service now, just like Windows and Office are. So... Microsoft put out a blog post this week. They said, we're going to be updating Configuration Manager the same way we do Windows and on the same schedule, which means regular updates feature-wise.
Which means unreliably.
Yeah. So Configuration Manager as a service is a real thing, and it's coming soon.
By the way, a couple
And they're going to kind of tie it. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Keep going.
I was just going to say, I mean, they're going to tie it to the Windows 10 release schedule, it seems like. So, as Windows 10 is released, they're going to update System Center and presumably Intune, I guess, as required. Intune is sort of now part of System Center, right? It's not even its own thing. It's sort of a perk of System Center, as
much
I understand
integrated
it.
Now, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going hand in hand for the most part.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a dumb question?
Mm-hmm.
How do I log out of Windows? Do I have to hit Control-Alt-Delete? Do I really have to do that? Is there
no start menu? Click on your user at the top left, and then this
because I would go to power, and it says sleep, shutdown, restart.
It used to all be in the same.
It should be there. I see.
I agree with that.
That makes sense. Okay,
sure.
They probably didn't have enough letters in
the letterbox to have it in both places.
I think it was logical enough. You could make the argument that those are not power options.
Yeah,
and that's
you're logging
fair.
Out of the user. Yeah.
But all right, whatever.
Now I know. Once you know, this is not unusual, and there's so many features and stuff. And
so if you really were paying attention during the Windows Insider program and didn't have a lot going on in your life, you could have tracked the number of times they changed where this thing was in the UI. It's actually pretty
funny. Yeah, that's true.
They're debating it too, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I remembered from the old days, Control-Alt-Delete, so I just did that. That works.
Yeah, that works. If you just want to lock the screen, Windows key L, don't do it now, Leo. We'll lock the screen. Actually, you can do it now. It doesn't really matter.
No, I'm looking at a different one. Okay, cool. Firmware updates for Surface. Well, wait a minute. We talked about that, didn't we?
Yeah, we already got that one.
We did Surface first. We moved it up.
Yeah. Okay, let's get to earnings. The conclusion that mainstream media came to, after noting that Microsoft's stock price was the highest it's been since the year 2000.
I know, 15 years.
Is that the Microsoft's, well, first, and that Bing made money, which I read on Mary Jo Foley's. She said they made $1 billion. Is she
That's
wrong?
Revenues.
Revenue.
But they didn't lose money.
Nope. This was the first quarter, I think, since 2006.
Profitable quarter,
they
right?
Earned something. We don't know what they earned, but
they didn't say how much it earned.
It was $11.87. They didn't put into petty cash.
Okay. They didn't. They didn't. Yeah. I get it. All right.
By the way,
Mary Jo will have a lot to say. I'm sorry about earnings, but I just really bothers me how they don't report anything anymore. They'll give you little factoids about each business that has nothing to do with what we want to hear.
Right.
You know?
Right. They'll
Surface grew by some percent or fell by some percent, but they don't tell you how many they sold. Or in this case, you know, Bing was profitable. Oh, that's great. By how much? I mean, we're not saying that.
We don't know that.
You know, I find that to be – I just find that to be bad. I'm surprised it's even allowed, frankly, but I find that to be very strange.
Every company hides things in their earnings.
But they're hiding everything now. In other words, you could look at any little part of the business and point out something they're hiding by virtue of the fact that they're only telling you something that looks like good news. And it will be something bizarre. It will be some little trend or something that has nothing to do with financials. I don't know. The way they've split up the businesses now, there's no real way to know.
Right. Now there's only three reporting segments. So everything is in those three, right? You can hide a lot of things that way.
Sorry, just a usual ranting. I don't know.
But the top line in all of this was the cloud has been very, very good to Microsoft.
Yeah, they're doing well. Yes. So that's, in fact, why the stock price was up. The Wall Street analysts were looking to see, can Microsoft actually find a way not to be so dependent on Windows and also on devices, right? Because that's the part of their business right now that is the biggest revenue-wise. So they're looking for future indicators. They're saying, you know, what can they actually make a shift where they're making money from the cloud and making money from Office and Office 365 and all their enterprise products? And the answer is yes, they can. It looks like they can. So that's why their earnings were so good. Also, they had some layoffs as well. And you know, we don't like hearing that. Microsoft employees don't like hearing that. But Wall Street loves hearing that. They love hearing.
By the way, also not announced as part of the earnings.
No, they were not announced as part of the earnings.
This whole thing, I find it to be very strange.
Right. So they laid off some number of people. We don't know what that number was. They wouldn't say. They said it was across all business units. So this was in addition to the more than 8,000 people they already announced they were laying off this year that were mostly in Windows Phone. Yeah. So all those kind of things are what analysts like to hear. Oh, they're tightening the belt. They're, you know, cutting costs, right?
And so warped.
I know. That's why their stock price went up.
Oh, well.
Yeah. But anyway, I thought the cloud news was really interesting and really good. We don't really know how much they're making on Azure still. They don't break the numbers out that way. They talk about the intelligent cloud, which incorporates a lot of different things. And so everybody wants to compare AWS to Azure. We don't know what that number is for Azure. We can guess. We can make some kind of broad guesses, but like Paul said, they give you a percentage, like Azure was up 200% or whatever, and 200% of what? We don't know.
Right.
Office 365 still doing really well. I think they're up to 65 million seats for commercial, which is the business version now, which is pretty huge. I forget what the number is they're up to in the consumer version for Office. Do you remember, Paul?
Oh, boy. No, I don't. I'm sorry.
There were just so many numbers all at once. But, yeah.
Well, and you kind of don't know what to compare them to. That was the problem I had with it. You know?
Right. They're also no longer reporting how many Xbox consoles are sold. They're not giving that number out anymore. I don't know if you noticed that.
That, by the way, is the biggest problem I had with this. Seriously, we're not going to beat PlayStation. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stop talking about how many we sell.
Right.
I mean, that was literally what that was, right? So they're going to talk about engagement of people on Xbox Live, which, you know, is in its own right interesting. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. But what this allows them to do, it's sort of like in the old days, they would say, the old days meaning like a quarter ago or two quarters ago or a year ago, they would say, in the quarter, Microsoft sold some number of Xbox consoles. But they wouldn't tell you which were 360s and which were Xbox Ones. Now we're not even getting that information. Now what they're going to talk about are people that are on Xbox Live. Because, you know, this is something that is going to grow. Do you know why? Because of Windows 10.
Right.
Because if you think about it, over the entire, whatever that was, 8-10 year life cycle of the Xbox 360, approximately 80 million units were sold. There are 20-something million people on Xbox Live. Well, they just sold 110 million or got 110 million people on Windows 10 in 2 months, 3 months, whatever that was. There's going to be a lot more people on Xbox Live because it's built in now.
Right.
And that's, you know, so this is, again, it's about obfuscating what's really happening. And it's relevant. Don't get me wrong. The number of people using Xbox Live is relevant. But we're also, while doing that, hiding what's really happening with the Xbox One. And I just wish it wasn't that way.
Paul, no good can come of telling the truth.
Yep.
When will you learn?
That's why it says that in the Bible. You know, that makes sense.
That's the Old Testament. No good has ever come from telling the truth.
That's from the vengeful God. Yeah.
But it really is true that a company, and I think a lot of companies, Apple probably leads the way on this, companies have learned that anything you say is going to be held against you. So just say nothing. What really I found confusing is the way they divided this, the three groups they divided it up into. I mean, that's just talk about obfuscation.
Oh, it's almost like they had a roulette wheel and they're like, all right, devices.
You're in here. Where are we going? Where are we going to put that? Oh, well. It was crazy.
I don't like it. I don't, you know, I think the thing that bugs me about it at the core is that under Satya Nadella and in recent years, let's say, Microsoft has been much more transparent than they have been in the past overall.
Yeah.
You know, but they're doing a couple of things that don't make sense to me. One is they continue to decline to identify what's in updates that they're delivering automatically to people's computers, which I find to be inexcusable. And then this stuff with the financial reporting, it makes no sense. Mm. They clearly have designed this so they don't have to tell the truth about what's happening with their business, which is the point of an earnings report. And I find it to be dishonest.
Yeah.
It's too bad.
Well, but it doesn't hurt them in the market, obviously.
No.
And the headlines were all very positive.
Right, but the problem is the stock market or Wall Street or whatever you want to say is financial markets. You know, it's all about look over here. You know, and it's sort of designed to let companies show what they want to show.
Yeah,
you know, I don't feel that they should be able to show. This is a publicly held company; they should be held accountable to what they did, and it should be public information, transparent, all of it. And I'm kind of amazed that they can hide this level of detail from shareholders and from the public.
You idealist. But again,
I know. I'm a socialist, whatever, a communist, whatever.
Isn't it funny? Because we, in theory, live in an age of full disclosure. I mean, Sarbanes-Oxley and all of these laws that were passed after WorldCom and Enron, and it's worse than it used to be.
Oh, by the way, This is the same company that is fighting the extraction of email held in Ireland by a U.S. company to the DOJ.
Right.
They're taking a stand on that little issue. You know, what are you kidding me?
Right.
I don't. I just.
Well, they're going to lose.
I know. I think so too. But then they're not related. Whatever. I get it. But I just, again, I don't mean to harp on this. It's disheartening every time an earnings report comes out and you get to look at their cherry picked little numbers that have nothing to do with anything.
Mm. Yeah. You should just be happy. They're doing great.
I'm so
happy.
It's going swell.
This, Leo, you've known me for a long time. This is me being happy.
Yeah, I know. This is as happy as he gets. This is as good as
he
gets.
It's not that. I like to be late.
More layoffs, though.
More layoffs.
Is that just adjusting for... it's not just turning the dials. I think he's a great CEO, and he's done a really amazing job turning his company around.
In sharp contrast to what we were just talking about, I do think the one thing that he's been doing really well is holding people and their departments or businesses or whatever accountable.
Yeah.
In other words, he is less likely to let something go on for years and years and be unprofitable. We may never find out how bad it was. We may find out just one day that something disappears. I mean, that's part of the weirdness. But he does seem to require that these businesses be businesses, that they make money. And I do like that. I mean, I think he's done a good job.
And you lay off business people in divisions that aren't doing well or that are redundant.
Or deadwood. That could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big are the layoffs?
Well, New York Times said 1,000 people, although I couldn't verify that. I couldn't disprove it, but I couldn't verify it.
It's a couple of percentage points. Attrition probably would do that.
I would, in the layoffs of days past.
By the way, I don't want to sound insensitive to somebody who gets laid off.
No.
Horrible thing.
It's not. Right. But, this kind of relates to what I was just going to say, which is that I always hear from people at Microsoft about how horrible it is. You don't understand, like, these people and this is happening.
Oh, it's terrible.
I didn't hear anything like that this time. And it makes me wonder if they were isolated to specific parts of the company.
They fired all the people nobody likes.
Disagreeable people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they got rid of him. Thank God.
One person told me they heard a lot of contractors, including in finance and legal, might have been among those cuts.
Yeah, good. Nobody
like the V-dash types. Yeah,
nobody complains when you fire the lawyers. That's not. Oh, they fired the legal department?
Also in the Bible, by the way.
Also in the Bible. Kill all the lawyers. Yeah. No, that's Shakespeare.
I'm going to get all.
I don't want to be heartless. I don't want to be heartless because absolutely it's a terrible thing for the individuals involved. But companies, especially a company with, 80,000 employees?
It's more like 120-something.
Yikes.
Isn't it?
Yikes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, 1,000, right? 1,000 people out of work is such a small fraction.
On top of 8,700 from earlier this year.
That hurts a little more, yeah.
That 8,700 was tough because obviously a lot of those people were ex-Nokians, and that's thanks. That was so awful how that happened. But, I think they're just cleaning up at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope all of those people find great actualizing jobs and are much happier and finally can get out of the Pacific Northwest where it rains every freaking day.
It's a nice place to live.
Okay. So I've heard.
I liked it.
No, I love it up there, actually.
Not there anymore.
Yeah.
I would love
that.
My wife doesn't like the weather.
Little sun once in a while.
That's what you get. What's your problem?
Seattle's a beautiful city. It really is.
Once every 76 days, Leo, it's enough.
Yeah. I couldn't do it.
Listen, UV is dangerous. People don't understand.
Don't get me wrong. I go to L.A. and I go, what's that fireball in the sky? That thing is horrible. Yeah. Turn it off. That's why I chose to live right where I do, because it's just nicely where it's a little rainy today.
It's the Goldilocks part of the country.
Yeah. We're going to get a teaspoon of water this winter. It's going to be fabulous.
Oh, man.
By the way, if that happens, I'm going to be really unhappy.
My dad, who is a geologist, retired geologist, sent us all emails saying, get your flood insurance, get your landslide insurance.
Really?
It's going to be an awful winter, and you better be prepared because the El Nino, baby, it's going to be wet.
Hopefully it won't be as bad as
yet. Hasn't happened yet.
Let's do a timeout. You go to that corner, Paul. You go to that corner, Mary Jo, and I will do an ad. And then when we come back, more fabulous stuff from the Windows Weekly team, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. I want to tell you about investing, and I am not the king of investment. In fact, I always say I'm not going to tell you what stocks to buy. I don't buy tech stocks. In fact, all my money is kind of in retirement, and I don't play the stock market. I believe in long-term investment, but there's a problem. Even if you're doing long-term investment, who's going to manage that? You know, I'm one of those guys. Oh, I'll do that. Every quarter, I'll log in and rebalance and make sure everything's going great. And yeah, no. Or you go out and you hire somebody. And first of all, can you trust them? And then second of all, you're going to pay like 1-3% a year on everything you got under management. Not to mention the fees for transactions and hidden fees and stuff. It's just it's a racket. That's why I was so thrilled when I found out about Wealthfront. Wealthfront is doing automated trading for long-term. This is not day trading. For long-term investments, whether it's your retirement, your house fund, your emergency fund. But they do it automatically. They're automatically rebalancing your portfolio. They're automatically reinvesting your dividends. They're doing very sophisticated stuff that no one does, but a computer can do, like tax loss harvesting. Direct indexing, and it's under the guidance of the smartest people on Wall Street, the guys who wrote the books. And there was a book I read as a young man that really influenced me and kind of opened my eyes about investment. If you go to Wealthfront, I'm going to do that right now, .com, /windows, you can find out more about this. And you'll see Burton Malkiel, who wrote the Random Walk Down Wall Street, amazing book, and Charles D. Ellis, who wrote Winning the Loser's Game. They're on the team that puts this software together. So the software is doing smart stuff, really smart stuff, with your money and maximizing your returns while lowering your tax bill. It's so impressive. In fact, it's done so well. Oh, did I mention, by the way, the fee for this? Less than 0.25% a year, 25 basis points. And there are no commissions, no hidden fees, no additional charges. That's it. And I say less than because when you go to wealthfront.com/windows, you can invest up to $15,000 without any fee at all for life. The beginning investment is $500. I've heard from many people who've heard these ads and have said, wait a minute. And they've put some money in. They said, boy, I wish I put more in. This is incredible. Even in these downtimes, doing it right is great. They'll ask you, by the way, you could get your free portfolio right now without any investment. If you go to wealthfront.com/windows, you'll answer a few questions about your time frame, your risk aversion or tolerance, and they'll set you up with a free portfolio so you see exactly what they would invest. And that's one of the nice things. Their software is optimizing your investment for the best risk-adjusted return net of taxes and fees, and you can see every trade they make on your behalf right there in your dashboard on your desktop with a mobile app. So there's no mystery about this. And it's so affordable. We're talking less than $5 a month to invest $30,000. And as I said, your first $15,000 free forever. Wealthfront.com/windows, $3 billion in client assets now. It's grown more than 2,000% in the last 2 years because it's such a great idea. Wealthfront.com/windows. We thank them for their support of Windows Weekly. For compliance purposes, I have to tell you, Wealthfront Incorporated is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Brokerage services are offered through Wealthfront Brokerage Corporation, member FINRA and SIPC. This is not a solicitation to buy or sell securities. Investing in securities involves risks, and there is the possibility of losing money. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Please visit Wealthfront.com to read their full disclosure.
Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, enjoying the Vegas weather. I hear it's very nice, pleasant in Vegas.
How is the weather here?
They don't want you to know, do they? No clocks. No, you know, you can't tell what's going on outside. They want you to stay inside. Enjoy the fine gaming.
Yes.
Are you going to do any shows? MGM Grand has a great Cirque du Soleil show there. You should go see.
Yeah, Kai, I've seen that in the past, but I don't have time. I don't have Mary Jo's time. No. I don't know. I'm not going to have time this trip to do that.
No time.
Yeah.
No time. Julie Larson Green going back to office. Is that right?
She's back. Yeah. Yep. So Julie Larson Green has been the chief experience officer in Microsoft's Application and Services Group for the past year or so. And as of this week, she also is now going to be again going back to office and heading up office engineering. So that was a job she had. I don't know if she ever actually headed up office engineering, but she was on the office team for ages. She worked on Office XP, Office 2003, 2007. She did the ribbon. She's now going to go back and manage that team in addition to staying the chief experience officer. So she has had a lot of different jobs in the past, I'd say 2 to 3 years, maybe a little longer. She was on Windows. She was on devices. She's kind of been here, there, and everywhere, but now back to office. So, yeah, it's part of these. She is very well liked by people who've worked with her, who say she has a good ability to organize people and get people working together in teams. That's kind of her skill.
I've heard that from a lot of people people have worked with her really like Julie.
They do.
Yeah. Some other moves in the reorg.
Another interesting move is when Microsoft bought Acompli, the email application vendor, back at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Javier Soletro, is that his name? Soletro?
Soltero.
He was the CEO of Acompli, and now he is heading up Outlook for all of Microsoft. Mr. Outlook.
Yep.
The company. And Microsoft said today that they're taking another acquisition that they had made earlier this year, Sunrise, which did a calendar app that was well-liked, I think, on iOS and Android both. And they're going to merge that into Outlook. At some point in the near term, I shouldn't say near term. At some point in the future, once Microsoft has taken all of the Sunrise capabilities from calendaring and put those into these Outlook mobile apps, they're going to discontinue Sunrise as a standalone app.
iOS. I use it everywhere. Yeah.
But they're going to put the features that you have in Sunrise into Outlook. So do you use the Outlook mobile
app?
I
freaking hate Outlook.
You hate it. Okay, well.
No, I like Outlook on iOS.
Well, the mobile app, I don't know what that. Oh, for iOS is fine. Right. Yeah, but I don't like this trend toward putting a calendar in. You're getting peanut butter in my chocolate. I don't want the calendar in my email.
By the way, I actually find this to be a little strange because Microsoft's mobile app story, for the most part, is about going the opposite direction.
I know.
And Outlook is the one where they're just kind of still jamming it together.
I tried on the Surface Book. I installed Outlook. I set it up, the big Outlook. And it's it's not right for me. I understand if you're on an Exchange server and, you know, there's lots of advantages to that. But I don't. I put Thunderbird on. I want a simple. Although ironically, even Thunderbird now has a calendar module built into it.
Yeah,
I guess there's
what are they going to call that now? Communicator. What are you kidding me?
Boom, 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 boom.
What was the stand? They had a standalone calendar one time. Remember?
This is Lightning. It's called Lightning, but it. I know what you're talking about.
Something else.
I can't remember the name of it.
But yeah, I can't either.
So Sunrise standalone is dead.
Not yet.
Well, not yet.
Going to be dead.
It's you know what? Remember when they came out with Acompli / Outlook, and they said, "Look, we have all these other Outlook apps, OWA for whatever, and Outlook.com app, and we're going to get rid of those apps as the Outlook app incorporates all of their functionality." Mm-hmm. They're doing the same thing with Sunrise. I'm just downloading it now, but the iOS version already has some Sunrise elements to it. Apparently, in the new update that came out today. The Android app is getting them in November. But here's the really good news. They're going to update Outlook on Windows phones as well. And that's something they've never talked about before because the big question here was there are some elements that are similar, but the Outlook app on Android and iOS are the same app. And the one on Windows/Windows Phone is completely different. And they both have their own merits and so forth. But it seems like when you have this one team doing them all, they should be the same as much as possible. And it looks like they're going to move in that direction. So we'll see what that means.
I think, right. The blog post today was a little murky about that. They just said, and we're going to update Outlook on Windows Phone. And it didn't say if you'd get any of the Sunrise kind of functionality.
No, it did not. That's true.
If it would be the same code base as the iOS and Android apps.
It is the same team, though.
It is not.
Same team. It seems like they should. I'm just looking at the app. I don't. Honestly, this looks like the app already looked. I don't know what they changed. But okay. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, today they updated. They're starting to roll out the update for Outlook on iOS. Android is not till November, early November. Mm-hmm. Windows Phone sometime in November is what they said.
Well, actually, I think there was an Outlook mobile app update on Android today. It just didn't incorporate the Sunrise stuff.
Right.
It has other changes.
Other things. Okay.
I think.
So, yeah. Sorry,
it's
Leo.
It's okay, Leo.
He's sobbing.
Leo, just wait a year. It's all going to change again.
Well.
It will.
Yeah, the good news is there are other apps.
What was the Mozilla Technology standalone Sun? It was actually called Sun something. It wasn't Sunrise.
Oh.
It was called Sun something. It was a standalone calendar. Same technology used in Firefox and Thunderbird. It wasn't Sunrise, was it?
Lightning.
It's bugging me. I can't think. Yeah, it's before Lightning.
Lightning's the one that's in there now.
Sunbird.
Sunbird?
Was there a Sun?
There was a Songbird.
Yes, there was. Sunbird.
No, Sunbird. I bet Sunbird's it. And that was a calendar, right?
Yep. Isn't that funny?
Okay. I used that.
Because there's Thunderbird. And their Songbird is their music thing. So
thank you for bringing it back to Microsoft.
It makes sense that she binged it.
She binged it. That's good.
Binged it. I'm living with Bing, not happily, but I'm living with Bing.
Yeah. Oh, so you want to hear an interesting thing about my plane flight? And this was very odd, and I was curious why this happened. So I was using GoGo in flight, Surface Book. I have my default search engine set to Chrome. So I was doing a lot of searches, and every time I searched on GoGo in flight with Google Chrome, I could not get any results. Like, it would just keep going and going and never return a result. I switched to Bing, and I was getting results, like, in less than a millisecond.
And why? Whose fault is that?
I don't know. Whose fault is that?
I don't think it's Google's.
What airline were you on? Was it like a Microsoft partner?
Virgin
okay.
America.
You know what I find frustrating? I'm trying to change the default search in Microsoft Edge. And
good luck.
Well, it gives you some choices.
Bing and they're weird choices.
Or YouTube.
Oh, okay. No, so, okay.
Nice. Thank you. Was that Edge or something else?
No, in the fall update, they're going to fix that so you can.
They act like you can change it.
Search providers.
They act like you got a choice. Wait, let me look just to make sure that I'm. Is it? It's in advanced settings because who would want to change their search provider? I can't even find it now. So, I think it was an Edge, but I can't. But it was like what?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Change search in the address bar with Bing. Change. Choose one. Bing default.
Sure.
There's no other.
That's it. Okay.
So at least I had YouTube on the. This is the threshold two. I used to have YouTube. Now I only have Bing.
There were some weird options in there before.
Bing. Choose one: Bing or Bing.
Yep.
I guess I'll choose Bing.
Maybe you'll go with Bing.
Yeah. It's nice that Microsoft doesn't have a monopoly anymore.
Yeah, right. They can do stuff like that. I'm fine. I'm living with it. It's not horrible. It's it's a search engine.
I was having, I was enjoying the results that were returned in my searches.
I was
they were working.
I feel like they're probably very similar, right? They're not so much difference. I like some of the features that Google has added to search beyond search.
Yeah,
but those are also probably highly illegal, monopolistic things. I shouldn't enjoy those. So I'm just
referring to shopping results.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that.
It looks like you're shopping for something on Amazon. Would you like to save $3?
Well, interestingly, when you do search for flights on Google,
because they bought ITA, they will actually, in the search results, give you, you know, if you just do SFO to JFK, sure. They'll give you all the flights, and you click a link, and it sends you to the shopping and all that stuff, yeah. Which is why I'm surprised you have trouble with flight information on yours.
Do people actually search for flights that way, do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it, to kind of like just Google.
I mean, it's like, you know, when was Abraham Lincoln born? Yeah. What's the capital of Massachusetts? I'd like to book a flight to San Francisco. Yeah. These don't seem like the same kinds of questions. Yeah.
They'd like you to do that more often.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I go to Google.com, all right, they're saying in the chat room, oh, well, the problem is you're not on Google.com. Go to Google.com. And now, thank you. And now, if I go to Settings, Advanced, Search.
That's obvious.
And now it gives me – now it does. Oh, it discovered Google. Congratulations, Edge. You found Google. So, yes, you can do that. This is awesome. Thank you. What a tip. So if you're on the Google page, it'll then discover it, and I can set that as default.
That is funny.
That makes sense. So now if I went to DuckDuckGo, I presume the same thing had happened, right? Let's see. And once it discovers it, does it remember it, or do you have to go back to have it discover? Whoa, what's going on now? I'm getting a video. Whoa, stop it.
It really wants you to do this.
It's saying, come on, you want to annotate, don't you? Not really. I'm just using the internet right now. Thank you.
Oh, no, it remembers it, and you can search from that homepage.
Forget it. I don't know what's going on.
Google, when you do this, would really like you to go to get Google Chrome, by the way.
Everybody's doing it. Apple does the same thing with Safari. Sure you don't want to use Safari? So it does remember that Google is there, and now it's giving me DuckDuckGo, so I could have that too. Okay, that's a good tip. Thank you, chat room.
That actually is a good tip, because that's not obvious at all.
No, how would you know?
That's right. Amazing.
Yeah. Look what I found. There's this thing called Google. Wow.
And I only had to go to Settings, Advanced Settings to find it. While on that exact page.
Wow.
Yeah. I can't. You thought the Microsoft antitrust trial was funny as it was. Imagine this little conversation. We think this is discoverable.
So cloud and engineering also a little bit reorganized?
Yeah, a little reorg there too this past week. Nothing too major. They combined some of their data analytics teams with the SQL Server teams, which makes a lot of sense. Put all your database related stuff together. Windows Server sitting inside with cloud now. So Bill Lang, a longtime Microsoft Windows Server guy, is now reporting to Jason Zander. Yeah, a lot of things like that, kind of tweaks and adjustments. But very interesting that all this enterprise software that Microsoft has, they're now sitting in the same teams with their cloud equivalents. Hmm. So yet more cloud washing.
Cloud washing. I think you've coined a term. What does that mean?
I'm just using that term to mean the cloud team is taking over all. Pretty much. And, you know, Microsoft knows that a lot of people will continue to use enterprise software, especially in hybrid kind of configurations going forward. But as we always say, everything's cloud first with those guys now, and even down to the organization of how their various teams are structured.
I'm a cloud watcher. I'm a cloud watcher. Watching the cloud walk by.
It's like a Kate Bush song.
It does sound like it.
Oh, and Julia White, who I think Paul knows fairly well.
Yep. She moved along.
Julia White was, if you ever saw all these Microsoft shows this year where there was a woman on stage who did these amazing demos around Office 365 and a lot of enterprise.
She was good. I liked her.
She's really
short
good.
Short red hair. Loved the jacket.
Yeah. I remember her.
Now moved from Office to cloud also. So she's going to be working now more around Azure and things like that. So,
and she is now thus dead to me. No, I'm just kidding.
I have no interest. None at all.
She's great.
Yeah. So, after all these mini reorgs this week, my question is, so what happened in Windows and devices? We know Joe B is taking a sabbatical.
I know. Or sad.
He's going to sail around the world for a while. But we don't really know what else happened in Windows and devices. So if anyone listening knows, we always have our ears open for tips about what's going on over there. If there was any reorging or new people in power we should know about.
Do you think Joe B's decision to go at this time was related?
I don't know.
To
the timing
stuff?
Was right around the
interesting.
Same
Yeah. I guess there's no good time for a reorg.
Right.
You know, right? I mean, there's no appropriate. I mean, you know, Windows 10 to ship, that was a big deal. You know, that would make sense for Joe. I get it.
Did you go? Oh, you did go. Did you hear Pitbull?
I didn't see that picture of you with hanging out with Pitbull. I thought that was going to happen.
This week, the Microsoft store in New York City opened for business. And yes, I did go. They gave me the week before a chance to go see it before any people were in there, a private tour. And then I went to the actual opening, which was a madhouse, complete madhouse. The Pitbull was the concert ticket they were giving away. And they told me if I wanted to come back later that night and go to Rockefeller Center that I could go meet Pitbull myself.
When you didn't?
You know... It would have been a good photo op, but me and Pitbull.
Oh my god! What if it was you and Pitbull ice skating at Rockefeller Center?
Oh my god!
You know,
service books as we.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
You know,
I mean, you could have. You know,
I was looking at Taylor Swift's Instagram.
as one would,
as one does, and there's a picture of her with Pitbull.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Yeah. And I thought,
looks like she's welcoming her grandfather.
Yeah. First of all, she's like 4 feet taller than he is. Well, second of all, he has the strangest arm hair I've ever seen.
I find this man to be incredibly creepy.
So I don't think you missed a whole lot, Mary Jo.
I think I was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That said, you might have hit
the
it
store,
off. You know, you don't know.
The store that I think we all need a pilgrimage to the store because it's a very
is it nice
store.
I saw the pictures. It looks good.
I would have gone, but I had been to New York 117 times this year already.
Yeah. Yep. Panos Panay and Kevin Turner,
were
who's
there?
The COO, were cutting the ribbon together with the giant scissors.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did that good. When we opened our studio. We had giant scissors.
Did you?
Yeah, you can rent them.
What happened?
It turns out there's a place
the giant
you can go.
Scissors after
no, you rent them. You rent them. We didn't buy them. We rented them. You can rent giant scissors because I said to the staff, I said, staff, I want to have a ribbon cutting, but I need giant scissors.
Did they give you the sharp one or the safety scissors?
No, they were safety scissors. It's very token. You can't. Yeah. You go like nothing happens.
Yeah, it bends it.
Yeah.
Instead of
cutting. Yeah. We should have probably specified I want to actually cut something with this.
Yeah, we get a serrated edge on this thing.
All right.
Just reading the Motley Fool's review of the Surface Book Pro. On the Surface Book. Why does the Motley Fool have a review of the
good
Surface
question.
Book?
Mm-hmm. Everybody now who got one. Oh, by the way, if you went to the Microsoft New York store opening, they had so many Surface Books in stock. People who were waiting way at the back of the line were getting in and buying them.
Oh.
Which was surprising.
That's good to know because it's backordered online, right?
Yep. Daniel Rubino even went in there and bought one because he didn't get one on the loaner list for some reason. Mm. And so he actually ended up buying one in the store that day.
I couldn't be happier. I know it's pricey. And certainly there are less expensive and very nice Windows laptops. I have this Dell 13, for instance. But I am saying I've been really happy.
There is something about it. I like it a lot.
There's something about it.
Yeah.
I'm
definitely going to keep using it.
It's dead sexy.
Yeah. There's something good going on there.
Yeah.
Do they need, and you asked this question, so I'm just repeating it. Do they really need brick and mortar stores? Is that how it's really been a boon for Apple, contrary to what I believed? I mean, Gateway.
Oh,
just
everyone.
No,
everyone thought that was a bad mistake.
Yeah. And Apple's just done it right. And of course, Microsoft's kind of copying the Apple idea. It's open. They've got nice.
What do you mean
tables.
By that?
Oh, they're totally copying it. They admit they're copying it.
In what way?
Hey, it works. Why not? You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. If it works, why not? So this is, I think, their 110th or so Microsoft brick and mortar store. Most of them have been on the West Coast. And I have people asking me all the time, like, why do you even need a Microsoft store? And I'll tell you, in New York, you do need one in Manhattan, because where do you go to try to look at PCs side by side if you want to buy one? And they do have other PCs besides Microsoft's own models in there. And so for me, that's going to be fantastic.
Spend 5 minutes in the post-apocalyptic nightmare scape that is a Best Buy PC section, and you know why
you
need Microsoft stores.
I know in other places Best Buys are not a scary place, but in New York City they are. At least the Microsoft store within a store are kind of scary.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be fantastic. I can bring my laptop, any laptop, not just Microsoft, to the store, have them help me out with problems for free at the answer desk. They have a big community space in there, which I really like. They're going to have kids after school programs and other kind of community groups meeting up in there. And I just think it's going to be a good place for people. Are they going to make a ton of money there? I doubt it. They're on Fifth Avenue in really pricey real estate. They're like three or four blocks away from the Apple store on Fifth Avenue. I don't know. Even if they don't make money, I think it could still be seen as a loss leader.
I'm sure.
You can make a case.
Yeah, it's a prestige location.
It comes out of the marketing budget. It doesn't.
What I'd like to see is a meaning of lifestyle thing where they're firing cannons across at each other. Grappling hooks.
That would be funny. They sell other stuff besides Microsoft hardware, right? You can see other laptops there. So.
Yep.
In fact,
Microsoft has enough of their own hardware now that you could almost make the case. Just a big section of that would be great. Yep. There's enough of it.
The whole third floor of the store is a Dell store within the Microsoft store, which is interesting. And guess who's helping pay the rent on Fifth Avenue now?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yep.
So they're subletting.
They are, basically.
It's such a New York City thing to do.
I can't even imagine what that store costs them. It's a five-story building on Fifth Avenue and 53rd Street. It's like in the most prime part of New York City.
By the way, did you happen to catch? They seem to imply that they had made this deal several years ago and were essentially waiting for the previous store's lease to run out. That this has been in the plans for a long time.
Yeah.
That's how I read it.
I think what was in the plan was having a New York City store near an Apple store. And I don't know store. Yeah.
Okay.
But I
thought that place they had in Times Square was great. They should have just kept that. It was an ideal location.
They lost the lease on that. And then there was a rumor for a while they were going to get the Grand Central location that Apple ended up taking.
A great location.
Yeah.
Really interesting. Wasn't it a pop-up, though, in Times Square? It wasn't a...
No, it was an actual store. It was on a corner. Remember, it was... It was a building. It was inside a building. It was nice.
It was. I had heard from some people saying they only took a part-time lease on that just to make it a holiday pop-up, but it looked pretty permanent when you went in the store.
It was a store where I had to wait in line Tammy Rella's kids got to go in ahead of me because, for some reason they needed to see the store. but whatever. It was a nice place.
Yeah. So when next time Paul comes, he'll have to come over.
I'm going to make a trip. Definitely. I'll make a trip.
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't even been to the Apple Fifth Avenue store. So I can do two in one.
You could.
I have not either, but I will probably not worry about that.
And then maybe that bulldozer guy will be there and I can...
The bulldozer.
Whatever. That guy?
That guy.
Pit bulldozer, yeah.
Pitbull's older brother.
When do I get Windows 10 in my Xbox One? When is that happening?
It's complicated, Leo. Over time. Sorry, we're going to try not to put Mary Jo to sleep here for the next few minutes.
Like I always say, I like hearing the operating system part of Xbox.
Yeah, so the first bits of Windows 10 appear in November, on November 12th. That's the new Xbox One experience. It's basically the underpinnings. It's the performance enhancements, the stuff you're seeing like that. I mean, there's going to be subsequent Windows 10-based releases that occur. For example, Cortana is coming to to Xbox One in 2016. And we're also going to see, universal apps of some kind will make their appearance at some point on Xbox One next year. But also tied to this, I think, they've never really said this explicitly, but, they figured out how to do Xbox 360 backwards compatibility. And I'm almost positive they're using the Hyper-V technology that's based, that makes Xbox One popular, possible already. and was based on Windows 8 and will now be based on Windows 10. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the improvements in Hyper-V and this release have, you know, are what makes this possible. And I finally got to test this. I guess this had been sitting there the whole time. I didn't realize it was there. But if you're on the preview and you've bought digital Xbox 360 games that are compatible already, you can find them in your ready-to-install list on the console, and you can go get them and install them. You can play them now. It works fine.
Oh, I can't wait. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's not a lot of good games yet. There's supposedly going to be a 100 at launch.
But it's pretty fast.
Well, it's emulation is – I'm not even sure if that's the right word. It's virtualization.
Right. Well, it has to be emulation because the 360 does not have the same
right.
processors.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. It's a software machine. I noticed on the game that I was playing with that initial boot time's a little slow. It, you know, I think that's the VM kicking up on or whatever. But it is literally an Xbox 360 in there. I mean, it's funny because – you know, notifications like when you get achievements or if you bring up the Xbox guide, if you type something in on the keypad, it's Xbox 360. You know, it's not the Xbox One UI. And it works really, really well. So hopefully we'll see some really good games in November and then, you know, past November.
I was going to stream. I launched my my Xbox app on the Surface Book and it saw my console. But then it said I have to have a joystick paired to the Surface Book.
That's true. You know, in other words, so I bought a second one for this purpose, but
can I use the Xbox One controller? Or
the only problem with doing that is you're going to have to reassign it to the device every time you move it. It's kind of a pain.
Controller. So is it Bluetooth? Just any Bluetooth controller? How do it work?
No, you have to use an Xbox. Well, it's an Xbox One controller.
Oh,
actually,
so I should buy
a separate. You know what? I don't want to speak out of hand. It's possible that you could leave the Xbox One controller connected to the Xbox One and still use it because it's just streaming the video. So actually, you probably don't have to. You could probably just use the controller.
Okay,
I haven't tried that.
Because I'm going to be on vacation for the next few months with Fallout.
Well, of course, you would need to be near the Xbox One for this to work. But I think that would work, actually, because it's just coming off the Xbox One anyway.
I was going to get Fallout 4 for the desktop, and then I thought, I'll just play it off my Xbox One because I already bought it on the Xbox One.
Yeah, there you go.
Be fun.
Yep.
I'm excited. Halo 5, have you played that? That came out yesterday. Is that
just started? Yeah, Kristen and I have to go to Vegas. I can't play it. So, Halo dropped by the wayside because of Call of Duty. And the first few Halo games, Halo, Halo 2, and Halo 3, and actually ODST, I played those single player campaigns. I mean, several times each. You know, on different skill levels and going back to find things I missed. And I really, really liked those games. And then I kind of got lost in Halo. And I think part of it was just, you know, how good the Call of Duty games were. But this game, I have to say, is super impressive, single player and multiplayer. And I really feel like they've learned a lot from rival games that did some things better. It's just so tight and so well done. It's beautiful. It sounds great. The music is awesome. It's really good. And so there's no doubt I'm going to go back and go through this. And Halo 4, I basically skipped out on. I kind of booted it up. I played around for a few minutes, and it just didn't do anything for me. But this is just a level of crispness that hasn't been around in a while. So it looks awesome to me.
Yeah, see, I passed on it because I bought that whole Super Halo kit with all the versions.
Yeah.
And I played it for a little bit, and it got me nauseous, and I thought, I don't want to do this anymore.
Sure.
And I'm getting Fallout 4.
Yep.
So I'm not sure, but now you're not the only one. A lot of people are saying, hey, this is the best Halo in a long time.
One of the neat things that's happening on the Xbox One, I don't really have this in the notes, but it's related to the Xbox 360 compatibility, is that some games, and third-party developers can do this as they wish, you buy an Xbox One game and they can give you the Xbox 360 version because it's compatible now on the Xbox One, you kind of get it for free. So, for example, if you bought Fallout 4 on Xbox One, which I think you said you did, you also get Fallout 3 for Xbox 360, which will work on your Xbox One.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, I know Gears of War is like this, the new version for the Xbox One. You get all of the Xbox 360 games. I think there were four or five of them. There might have been four or five.
I saw
I don't remember.
A tweet, and I didn't understand, because I looked, and it didn't say that.
Yeah. There's a few others. I can't remember. It. Oh, Rainbow Six is another one. Rainbow Six Siege, I think, is the new game. And when you buy that, you get the old, I think there's two of them, Xbox 360 games. By the way, those are awesome games. So if you like Rainbow Six, there's like three great games for $60. Yeah. Bucks. That's kind of an amazing deal. Yeah. So that's some neat stuff. And so that's kind of a perk of the 360 compatibility, you know, functionality. Actually, while I'm on the topic, I should say there's another perk, which is, you know, I talk about this Games for Gold thing that they have. And oh, every month that. They give away yeah. at least two games, right, yeah. for each console. Going forward, starting with November, every Xbox 360 game will be backwards compatible on the Xbox One. And so if you have an Xbox One, you're actually going to get four free games every month now. And they'll all work on the Xbox One.
So this is all coming on the 11th.
And the 12th.
Yeah. Sorry, 12th. Yep. Great. And yeah, I'm on the, I think I'm still on the beta. Will I get it a little sooner or should I have got it already?
Yeah, actually, you have most of this now. What's not here? I mean, there should be some slate of Xbox 360 games that pops up that we haven't seen yet. There's some okay ones in there, but there's not many. Like Borderlands 2 is in there, and I think Gears of War is in there. Yeah, I think you should have most of it already, actually. Oh. I think.
I can't remember. Maybe I turned off the beta because I was getting annoyed by all the updates.
Yeah, I know. Every time you turn it on, it's like, here's 3.5 gigs of data.
No, and that's how I
hope you didn't
TV.
Want to play a game.
Yeah,
you know,
play a
yeah,
game.
Exactly.
I wanted to watch TV. Please.
Is your favorite show starting? Yeah, you got to download this first.
Can. Yep.
Sorry.
Yep. All right, let's take a break. We're going to go to the back of the book in just a moment with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley because they got to get going. I'm going to give you an hour to get across the MGM Grand to your panel.
It might take us that long.
It might. Oops. Stay away from the flying monkeys. You know, back when MGM, I guess MGM lost the rights to Wizard of Oz or something, so it's no longer the Wizard of Oz Hotel, but it was the Emerald City and it was the whole thing.
Yeah. Well, MGM was the company behind
it. Right. They made Wizard the movie. In the MGM Grand store, every day, the son of L. Frank Baum would sit there signing Wizard of Oz books. Every
wow.
day. Like for years.
Wow. When yeah. was this?
Well,
you like know. How long ago are we talking?
You remember Comdex?
A while ago.
A while ago.
We can't forget that. Was shit.
Early 2000s, probably.
Yeah.
Wow. That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Today, what you have at the MGM is the CSI experience.
Really?
Just is very
that's
strange.
Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of crass commercialism going on here, Leo. I'm not sure if you hit
that.
You're
looking
for Vegas,
bodily fluids with UV light, that kind of thing?
I don't know. I was saying, like, what is this? The experience is you sit on the couch and drink beer and watch TV. I don't understand.
I want to have the experience of like going into a flop house and trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Right. I want to rough up a witness. Kind of a potentially illegal, but getting the job done
kind
of thing.
They do that and they take the Star Trek experience out of the old Hilton. What's wrong with this world?
Right.
But you can still pretend to fall off the Stratosphere Tower, and that's always
I'm
a blast.
Absolutely not doing that. There is
Lisa,
no
every
way.
Time we go to Vegas, she says, we're doing this. I said, no.
Oh, I've shot to the top of that thing one time and I don't know how astronauts do what they do, but that's never happening again.
That's different. You're going to the moon. I would do that.
You're going to the moon.
I'm not dying on the Vegas Strip. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You're landing somewhere in Vegas next to a McDonald's or something.
Last time we were there, she ziplined down Fremont Street.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I saw you could do that
my
now.
My wife is a daredevil.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
She had to buy underwear because she was wearing a dress. And and she was wearing underwear, but probably not suitable for ziplining down Fremont Street. So she got like
we've all been there, Leo.
Yeah, you know how that is.
Yep.
She still has it. It says Vegas on the butt.
Yep. Sure. Of course it does. Right. Right.
I've probably revealed too much.
I will probably not zipline down Fremont Street either. But
it actually looked fun. And you have two levels. Yeah, you can go the low slow or you can go the high fast. She went the high fast, of course.
Yeah.
I love her dearly, but she has
genuinely conflicted
she's
about
an
this.
Adrenaline junkie and I'm the opposite.
Yep. Yeah.
Sure.
She loves this stuff.
Right.
I hear her laughing in the other room, but I don't think it's about this. Our show today is brought to you by ZipRecruiter.com.
Man, I love ZipRecruiter. If you got to do some hiring, if you're the person in charge at your business, you know what a pain in the tuchus it is. And yet there is literally no more important job in a company than hiring the right people. That is what your company's made up of. It's made of people. And the right person can just elevate your company. The wrong person could just drag it down. And, of course, the worst part is you're trying to do all this when you're, you know, shorthanded. ZipRecruiter makes it easy. You don't have to post to a single job board. You post to all the job boards, 100-plus boards, with one click of the mouse. You'll also get access to the nearly 6 million current resumes. You're going to be posting on all the social networks, Craigslist and Twitter and Facebook, too. I mean, you're putting the word out, which gives you a much higher probability of finding the right one. On the other hand, it also increases the number of applications you're going to get. And you may say, well, I don't want my inbox filled with that. I don't want my phone ringing all day. No, no, no. It all goes into the ZipRecruiter interface, which makes it easy to screen out the ones you don't want, rank the ones you like, and hire the right person fast. I mean, within a day or two, you will be set. 400,000 businesses use ZipRecruiter. And you could try it for free right now. We got an email from Scott, who's a happy ZipRecruiter client. He said, quote, "The recruiting process used to be so painful. Before I'd post to several places, I'd get a million resumes, only a few responses from qualified candidates. It was torture. But with ZipRecruiter, we post once. We get qualified candidates in one easy-to-review place. And this is I want to just underline this. We've hired some of our best employees using ZipRecruiter. It's all about getting the right candidate fast. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/windows, ZipRecruiter.com/windows. Look at they're adding features all the time, too. Look at this. Post and hire the right candidate. Then they'll back you up with the offer letter and the HR docs, and you can even enroll them in benefits. This is all in one click. 4 days free when you go there right now. You're going to love this. This is so cool. This is new. I haven't seen this. Automate your I-9s, W-4s, custom forms, background checks, real-time process tracking, secure storage solutions. Wow. You got to love these guys. They're really knocking it out of the park. ZipRecruiter.com/windows. All righty, let's see here. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, what we like to call the back of the book, jokingly, because there is no book and there is no back. But it is the part of the show where it is ironic. It's a harken back to the days when you used to get your computer information on dead trees.
Yeah.
Yep. Now you get them on dead bits. By the way, you probably... we're aware of the fact that Google is adding podcasts to Google Play. It'll be now on all
that.
Android devices.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see how they do this.
Are already in.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, so you knew about this?
Yeah, I couldn't talk about it. We were under an undisclosure. In fact, I didn't even know all about it because I didn't want to sign the NDA. But I heard hints, and I had to help them set this up a few weeks ago. But
I've been asking about this forever. Like, I don't understand how Android for so long has not had a podcast solution into the OS.
Third-party solutions. But this is a much better way to do it.
Yeah.
And the guy who did Songza is in charge of this, and so they're going to have, you want to be uplifted, you want to learn about technology, they're going to have different playlists. And we're one of the, in fact, if you look at the announcement, we're the number one network on there. So, absolutely, we're all set already. You're in. You don't have to do anything.
Good.
However, now I want to get your tip of the week, Mr. Paul Thurrott, and I need this one.
This one will be quick because I've been giving away half of them during the course of the show. But since the Surface Book has come out, I've been writing a Surface Book tip each day, and I'm going to, collect these into a little complete guide to Surface Book at some point. But if you go to the Surface page on Thurrott.com, you'll see all the tips I've written so far, and I'll have another one today and tomorrow, and we'll do this for a few weeks until I'm exhausted.
I should be reading all of these. In fact, you already knew that I would be able to run my 4K monitor out of the mini display port. Now, I have a connector that goes, the computer has the old-fashioned display port, but I have a mini to full-size display, the monitor I'm going to use. That'll work.
Yeah, all the adapters work fine. Whatever you have, it will go to HDMI, VGA, whatever you got. Yep.
And will it give me 60 frames? I know it'll give me 4K.
That I don't know.
And I got the dock. I'm so excited.
I love the dock. The dock, it's like the simplest thing in the world. It's so great, you know.
So everybody needs to go to therot.com, and if you get a new Surface Book, that's those tips will all be compiled there, which means Paul's probably writing a book, let's face it.
Yeah, this might be a new kind of book.
You know how it is. You know how it is with Paul.
I'm just really treading water until I get Mary Jo on board for the big book. Okay. Anyway, we've already agreed to that. Let me just move on to the next thing.
Software pick of the week.
So this morning, you know, I showed up here in Vegas at 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm on East Coast time, and that's what happens. And, you know, I ended up hanging out in the NGM for a while. I had breakfast and everything, and I got there really early and was talking to some of the guys who were there. And then Scott Hanselman walked in, and he was kind of checking out my Surface Book. He hadn't seen one before, and we were kind of talking about it. And he mentioned a solution which some of you might have already heard about that he makes, and I honestly had never heard of this, and it's one of the most awesome things I've ever seen in my life. And it basically combines iOS on an iPhone, typically, right, with Siri, with Azure on the back end, and a native Windows app. And what you do is you dictate into the iPhone.
What?
And it comes out in whatever app is currently focused in Windows. And it is amazing.
Is it using
and you should watch
Siri?
Just, yeah, watch. Yes, it's amazing. Yep. If you can, play some of this video and listen to it. It is astonishing. And
my little window Scott, right?
Yep.
Basically, you just start talking, period. You can say anything that you want to, talking directly into your iPhone like I am, period.
Nice.
A lot of people don't realize how good iOS dictation is, period.
He's using Siri.
Siri's done.
So I asked him about this. I said, I don't understand why you don't do this with Cortana on Windows Phone. And he says, Cortana can't do this.
It's extremely fast, because
I don't know. He said he went to the Cortana guys and said, you need to, and they said, we just don't see a big use case for this or whatever. And there are some reasons around different things, the commas and, you know, different things that you would say to get punctuation in there that they didn't feel like that made sense. And he says, it works fine. I don't understand.
He could do it with Google now, because I think he can, and there's even better.
Yeah, he's probably going to do that on Google now as well.
So this is called My Echo. Is it in the store?
It's a $2 app. You buy it in the iOS store. You download the Windows 8 app. Actually, you can do it right from the web. You can do it yourself. You can do it yourself right now. You can test it on the web if you just want to see how it works. It's amazing. It works really, really well. And he was saying, you know, he says, these days when I have a blog post to write, I just walk around the house and talk into my phone.
I really love dictation for that kind of stuff. And I just kind of got out of the habit of it. For a while, I was answering emails on my iPad by dictating. And it was so fast.
There was a period of time, and this really goes back, whenever the first kind of ergonomic keyboards came out from Microsoft. So really, I mean, possibly as long ago as almost 20 years ago. But very early on, I had, what do you call that pain in the back of your wrist? You get carpal tunnel pain. And I thought to myself, you know, this is going to be a problem for me because I'm a writer and I need to type, you know, and this is going to happen to me. And I'm going to be screwed. And I started looking into these solutions at the time. And, of course, they were terrible back then. But I always figured the future for me was going to be, at some point, this will become so bad, I'm going to have to move on to voice dictation. Now, of course, what saved me was truly ergonomic keyboards and mice, and like the, you know, I travel with this gigantic mouse that everyone makes fun of, but you know what, it looks like a softball, but it's really key for me not, you know, to be ergonomically correct. It's hard for me on a kind of a cramped laptop keyboard for a week or two to, you know, it's, you can feel it kind of flare up. When I go home, I get the nice big ergonomic keyboard. It's fantastic. And so I haven't had to, but I look at this and I think, you know, that's actually kind of interesting. I mean, I go for walks. You could walk around the neighborhood and take notes, and back home, it's blurting into your Word document or whatever. It's a really neat solution. You should definitely check it out. And so I think it's Echo App. Let me see, where's my note here? Yeah, it's myechoapp.com.
Myechoapp.com.
Yeah. Cool. Really, really neat.
Cool. That's nice. I'm going to definitely try that. And I want them to do it with Android, because I feel like I've had better results with dictation to Android than I have with iOS. Actually, though, that kind of dictation, speech-to-text, is pretty good. It's the answering.
I mean,
he
demoed it live for me. He, you know, showed me the video that you just looked at and all that. But it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. You could try your 200 words free.
Let's see what it works for free. Yeah, on the web. Yeah, you can try it on the web. Yeah,
myechoapp.com.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, they're pulling me in.
But I only have a 200-word blog post.
Your enterprise pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
Enterprise pick of the week is SQL Server 2016. We haven't talked a lot about that on Windows Weekly, and we should. Today is a big Microsoft database show called SQL Pass. And at SQL Pass, they announced that SQL Server 2016 is now available in CTP 3.0 form, which means community tech preview. So if you want to just go and kick the tires of what the next major version of SQL Server is going to look like, you can go check that out right now. And they've added quite a few new features to this particular preview version. They've got something they call SQL Server R services, which use the database analytics language called R. And that's built right into the database itself. There's the always encrypted technology, Polybase, which involves unstructured and structured data using T-SQL. All of that's built into SQL Server 2016. And we know that that version of the product is coming out sometime in 2016. We just don't yet know when. At PASS, Microsoft also announced the public preview of Azure Data Lake Store and Azure Data Lake Analytics. And I know Windows Weekly users have been following along closely with what's going on with data lakes. You guys really care about that. And now you can try that technology out in preview. And this is the way, if you have a lot of data that's not in any particular format, you know, say something you might be collecting for IoT purposes or other purposes like that, you might want to store it in a data lake. So that's out in preview today. SQL Azure Database in-memory OLTP operational analytics also out in preview. Paul's ready to pass out now, I see.
You're really pushing this one hard.
It's tough. It's like there's just so much to talk about with SQL Server, but I'll just leave it there. And just if you're interested in it at all, you should go check out the blog post that is on the Data Platform Insider blog today. They've got all the features and all the links that you could ever want. There you go.
And maybe more.
Yeah, man. Many more. Many more. And it is a very special code word today for...
Yes. The code name is really a nickname today. The code name of the week is Trey. The reason I picked Trey is today, the person who was codenamed Trey, a.k.a. Bill Gates, is turning 60 years old.
Wow. Believe it or not. Today?
Today, October 28th.
That's great.
Yeah, hard to believe. I met Bill Gates when he was really young, in 1984. That was the first time I ever met him. And he founded Microsoft when he was 20.
Yeah.
And his nickname was Trey because his dad was Bill Gates II, and so he was the third. That's why he was Trey.
Oh, I get it. Trey is the third, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And another birthday coming up that's worth noting on Windows Weekly. Tomorrow, Paul Thurrott's birthday.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday, Paul.
I specifically told you I do not celebrate this birthday.
Paul's turning 60 as well, which is pretty exciting.
What? Yikes.
No, I don't think
I'm just happy
there.
I'm still ambulatory. That's all I'm saying.
Wait till you get to be my age, Paul. 60 doesn't seem old at all.
Yeah, I'm never going to reach your age. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Clean living, Paul. That's the secret. Don't do it whatever.
Yeah.
So how old are you, Paul? 40?
Tomorrow I will be 49.
Really?
Oh, really?
Paul, yep. You're getting on.
The big one.
That's what
49?
Happens.
49? You're not that old. Are you really?
I think so.
Wow.
Yes.
I thought you were maybe like in your early 40s. That's great. You look great.
Well, I feel like I'm in my early 60s.
Yeah.
But
happy birthday.
You know.
Happy birthday. That's great. Okay. And, you know, it's depressing to me when I think I'm only 2 years younger than Bill Gates. I only have 2 years to become the richest man in the world. I'm going to do that as fast as I can. What do you do when you are one of the richest men in the world for your 60th birthday?
I bet he's going on that zip line here in Las Vegas.
I feel like it's something bigger than that somewhere. I don't know if he still does this. I bet he does. But he used to do every year a big vacation that he'd bring other people on.
Oh, really?
One year they rented a train that went all the way across China.
Oh, wow.
And I know because a friend was invited once, and you're required, if you're invited on this trip, to have a presentation. It's kind of like a rolling TED. Jeez. And each night...
No pressure.
Yeah. Can you imagine the pressure? I would just say, no, I'm not going to go. But you have to do a presentation for the whole group. Yeah, they went across China in a train, a special car, of course. Some of the other things... I mean, amazing vacations, which, of course, they don't really talk about. You probably knew about it, but...
I've never even heard of this. So,
really?
So.
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, quite... Quite the deal. Maybe it's secret. Maybe I wasn't supposed to reveal that. Shakespeare, I'm being told now, Shakespeare died at 54, so I've already missed the genius playwright window. But Paul, it's not too late for you.
I know. I crossed my fingers.
get it writing. I imagine they'll have a massive party, but he's really not a public figure anymore. So,
not really.
He's like he dresses up like Mr. Rogers, plays a game of checkers with his wife, and retires with an actual cup of tea. You know,
he was for a while. He would go on these learning vacations too. You knew about these.
Yeah.
One year he brought. Oh, yeah. The Richard Feynman's Red Book lectures, some of the most advanced physics lectures.
These days, he would just cart the guy in and give him a lecture on a train in China.
I think was it Esther Dyson? Who would he go with? He would go with...
His
old girlfriend. It was Anne, Annie. Yeah.
I think you're
Winblad,
on track.
Winblad, yeah.
Yep.
Even after he was married to Melinda, he and Anne Winblad would go off on these on the intellectual vacations.
Nothing weird about that.
The rich are not like you and me.
No,
that's for sure.
I live in a different world entirely. I used to know at one point some of the other trips that Bill took people on, and I can't remember. I'll have to query my source. And, get back to you.
All right.
I'm surprised you hadn't heard of that.
No, I
had not. I mean, it's his personal life; he keeps it very secret, right?
Yeah.
Beer pick of the week, something we don't keep secret.
Exactly.
We're lushes.
In honor of Paul Thurrott's birthday tomorrow, I picked an IPA because he loves IPAs, I've heard.
He's a fan of the hops.
Really? I just feel like you're not getting this whole birthday thing.
No, actually, I picked a beer brewed in Las Vegas because we're here in Las Vegas. It's from a brewery called Big Dog Brews, and this is the Dirty Dog IPA.
Yeah, baby.
Yep. It's you don't think of Las Vegas as a craft beer hotbed,
but actually
it is becoming one. And there are a lot of really great craft beer bars in all the hotels now in Las Vegas. People who are beer sommeliers, it's a big business here. So this one is brewed here. Very nice. A fairly hoppy IPA, nothing too crazy, but a nice choice if you are looking for a Vegas beer.
Wow. Dirty Dog IPA from Big Dog's Brewing Company.
It's funny how many breweries use dogs, right? Like Lagunitas has the dog mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very popular.
Dogs love beer. Dog. Yep.
Everyone knows.
Everybody knows that. Yep. Everybody loves Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley. In about 1 hour, they're going to be doing their panel at the IT Dev Intersection Conference. Go rush to Vegas. Get over there. The MGM Grand. They will be back next Wednesday, as always, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. We are. This is confusing. I know a lot of people are starting to watch live and coming in an hour late. Because the U.S. changed when we go to standard time, and the rest of the world is not.
Yeah.
Or has sort of. Anyway, in some areas now they've already gone to standard time, and we have not, but we will.
We collectively as a planet needs to figure this out. This is so stupid.
One time zone is all you need.
So stupid.
When are we switching? We switch on Sunday, don't we? November 1.
Do we?
Is it this already? Yeah, it could be.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then you will not be seen at 1800 UTC. You'll be seen at 1900 UTC. And people always yell at me when I say that, saying UTC doesn't change. I know, but we do.
Yeah. Yep, November 1, Sunday.
Okay, so Sunday our time's changing. So that means I correct myself, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 1900 UTC on twit.tv/live. You can also catch it after the fact. If this confuses you as much as it does me, we make on-demand versions available. You can listen to whenever the hell you damn hell want to. Did I swear enough in that one? That's at twit.tv/ww or wherever podcasts are aggregated, soon to be on Google Music as well as iTunes and Groove and everywhere else. And, of course, the podcast app on your favorite app phone. Paul Theroux is at Theroux.com. That's his blog, place to go to learn about your new Surface Book and lots of other stuff. Mary Jo Foley's got the scoops at AllAboutMicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. Thank you. Have a great rest of your day in Vegas. Enjoy yourself. I'm sorry you can't get to a show, but...
It's busy. Yeah. So busy.
Yeah,
got lots to
is.
Do. Well, have fun, and we'll talk again next week on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.